Welcome to Let's Talk Clothes, a podcast where each week I sit down with my guests to talk about their relationship with clothing. This week, my guest is Blair Buskill. It's still strange just saying your name actually as it is, because your handle is B. Buskill. So for the first, like, year and a half that I knew you, I just called you Babuskill in my head and possibly to your face.
You did.
It was affectionately. So yeah, to say Blair Buskill is just, like, feels
also,
foreign in my
mouth.
I
like how you pronounce my name, too. It rolls off like Buskill. Like, it's...
Is that how you pronounce it?
Well, no, it's Buskill, but I even sometimes go, like, how do I properly pronounce my last name?
What do I say?
I don't know, it's just...
It's
just how you say it.
The diction of it?
Yeah.
Blair is a photographer, an avid concert goer, and a merch purchaser, which will come up in our conversation. I didn't know a better way to phrase that, but, like, you like to support the musicians that you see in concerts and the musicians that you enjoy by purchasing their merch, which often is in the form of clothing.
Right.
So we'll talk about that a bit later. But first, can you please describe your outfit for me and the listeners?
Right now?
Yes.
It's very warm out, so I'm wearing basketball shorts, and I'm wearing a Oshiega tank top.
You're also wearing a hat.
That's true. I am wearing a hat. Blue Jays hat.
Yeah.
And short socks. Ankle socks.
Yep. So, Oshiega, is this recent?
This was... it has the date on the back. I think it was
2016.
2016,
yeah.
And yeah, there's so many bands on the bill that it's like... I can't really buy... I think I got a Chili Peppers t-shirt because they played.
Okay.
But that was the only band that I bought specific merch for, because there's so many great bands, and it has the list of bands on the back.
I'm yeah.
Like, rep the, you know...
Yeah, it's... That probably happens for a lot of people going to, like, massive festivals like that, where it's just, like, if you're going for one specific artist or, like, a handful, then it's okay, but if there's, like, such a large number of artists, then it's like, well, I can't spend $20 on a tank top or a t-shirt for every artist, because that is, like, probably going to be a couple hundred dollars.
Yeah, exactly.
So, yeah, it probably is easier to just get, like, the festival merch.
Yeah.
And then it's also, like, a nice memento of that event and not just, like, that artist.
Exactly. And, like, festivals, I find, do a really good job at, like, making their clothing a brand and making, and, like, having it so that there's water bottles and...
Oh, yeah.
Hacky sacks and all sorts of different accessories as well, like a band's merch, but for the festival itself, which, like, you know, I don't know, I really enjoy, like, Way Home's merch was great.
Yeah.
But it was really expensive.
Oh, yeah.
And Winnipeg Folk Fest, that's another
one, like,
too, was great merch.
Armand and I did Vancouver last summer, and we each purchased tank tops, and he got a water bottle.
Nice.
Which he still uses, so, like, it's really good, like, obviously it's really smart branding, because it's also, like, oh, you're at an outdoor festival?
Yeah.
What are you going to want constantly? Water. What did you maybe not purchase or, like, bring with you? A water bottle. So, like, bim, bam, boom, done.
Yeah, that's awesome. Like, yeah. And myself, like, I'm, I like to collect things from the places I go, so, like, I even went to the Moore Theater in Seattle.
Yeah.
And you had to buy a recycled cup to get cocktails or beer.
Oh, cool.
But it says the Moore Theater on it, and it's a reusable cup, and, like, if you lived in Seattle, you could go back and use the same cup.
Yeah.
Which I really liked, but, like, I still use that cup. I make drinks
in
that cup, and, like, you know, it's a souvenir almost type of thing. And,
yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So is this a typical outfit for you?
On a hot summer's day at home, this is, like, the equivalent to wearing track pants.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
So, hot summer's day, if you're going out to see people, even if it's just, like, for a drink, or to a game, or...
No, that I'll put on proper shorts. And I used to never wear shorts, and I'd always suffer and wear pants throughout the summer for some reason. And then recently I've started getting a couple pairs. I've got one pair of shorts I've had since I was in high school.
Yeah.
That just, you know, haven't felt the need to buy new shorts. But I don't really... It's one thing I don't know how to choose from with, like, fashion of shorts. I never find any shorts fashionable unless they're cutoffs, which I actually like the aesthetic.
Yeah.
Regular shorts, there's nothing really appealing to, like, to me about them.
That's fair.
Yeah.
What inspired this transition from just, like, suffering through jeans in the summer to wearing shorts?
I don't know what it was. I just had a lot of pants, and I wore skinny jeans for a long time. And
yeah.
It was kind of just, I don't know. It's just all I wore.
Yeah, skinny jeans in the summer is not a good deal, but then skinny jeans in, like, the Ontario humidity is just, like, a death sentence.
Yeah, they're a part of you. They
oh, yeah, they just, like, stick to you, and just, like, especially, oh, you wouldn't know this necessarily, not to the same degree, but, like, going to the washroom in skinny jeans in the summer is just, like, painful, because it's just, like, peeling it off, and you have to put it back on.
Yeah.
It's a whole thing.
I know. And then you realize when you're going to bed and needing to take your pants off, it takes, like, half an hour. They're, like, it's better going on, but when you're trying to take them off, it's, I can't do it anymore. I can't put the effort in.
It's always, like, around the ankles that you're, like, ugh, just get off my body now. Like, you're just
flailing
and
kicking. You try and do it all in one chunk, but it's not going to go, so
nope.
You have to grab it from the bottom. And
Or you do, like, you flip it inside out, and then you just, like, yank them off your legs.
Yeah, that's sometimes doesn't work, though, either.
Yeah. So what has been your relationship with clothing?
My relationship's been very sporadic and random, and kind of, like, I have to say I started really looking at what I wanted to wear when I was in, like, grade 9 or 10,
mm-hmm.
and that kind of did start from going to concerts. A lot of it, though, too, started off where everyone was wearing American Apparel and American Eagle and Abercrombie & Fitch.
Oh, yeah.
And, like, all those brands, and wearing colored polo shirts.
Oh my gosh,
the
popped collar.
And nothing about any of that appealed to me.
Yeah.
So I was always just like, you know, I'd get skateboarding brands.
Yeah.
Something, you know, I'd go to West 49, and that was kind of the, like, that's the only store I would go to because it's like,
West
this 49. Is cool clothing. But then, yeah, I started wearing concert shirts. I'm just like, this is, you know. Started listening to Led Zeppelin. It was just like, that's when everyone had Led Zeppelin and AC/DC shirts and, like, all the,
yeah,
you know, classic rock band shirts.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Nice. So what do you think your clothing says about you?
That I have interesting tastes in music, I would like to say. Like, you know, I have, you know, a lot of folk bands, punk bands, you know, but I also have, like, a KRS-One shirt, or it's, like, OG hip-hop.
Oh, okay.
And then I have a Shad tank top, actually.
Nice. He's
a fantastic Toronto-based poet, written rapper, and, like, you know, hardcore bands. So, yeah, it's just, I got a Patti Smith shirt. It's not Patti Smith, and, like, just, I like to rep those people.
Yeah.
They're, you know, it's like, and remember the show too. It's like, you know, you run into another person with the same shirt that's happened to me before too, or someone notices my shirt and was like, I was at that show, and it's like, yeah, and it's,
yeah. Oh,
yeah,
because I don't go to that many concerts, but that does make sense because merch is going to be attached to a tour, which is attached to an album, and therefore it is ideally it is kind of this, oh my gosh, what is the word that I want? Time capsule. It's this time capsule of, like, oh, and this is when this happened. Like, I just went to see the band Tennis.
Nice.
Not just. I went in January, but I was at a Pride event, and I saw a woman wearing the same t-shirt that I got from that show. I wasn't wearing mine, but I was just like, hey.
That's the show.
I know that concert t-shirt. So, yeah, that makes sense, because, like, again, I don't go to that many concerts, but that does make sense that it is, like, this... It's connecting with this musician. Like, if you see someone else who also likes that musician, it's like, hey. But then it's also like, hey, we both, like, possibly if you're in the same city, like, we both saw that show, or like, we both saw that tour if you were, like, in a different city or province or state or whatever.
Right. And especially to, like, local artists and artists that might not necessarily be as big.
Yeah.
You wear their shirts, you're supporting them
as
well. And you're supporting their band, and the people that actually do know them will be like, I've seen people with obscure shirts on, like the guy at the Phoenix was wearing a Biblical shirt, and they're a Toronto-based band. And they're a pretty well-known Toronto band, fantastic musicians, but they're in the more underground scene.
Okay.
So I was just like, oh, great shirt, man. Or like, you know, anyways, you know, shirts have come and gone, though, like, for some reason, I'd lose clothing. I would lose sweaters. I leave at places. I lose t-shirts. I don't know how I lose them sometimes.
It happens.
Like, through the years, I think I only have one band shirt from, like, 2008 but I started buying them in, like, 2007.
Okay.
But it was from my first show that I came to Toronto by myself.
Okay.
And it was NoFX, Dillinger Four, and the Flatliners at the Cool House, which is now no longer.
Is it just not a thing anymore? Or, no, like, is another venue has... Oh, okay.
And so I still have that shirt, and it's... I got blue ink on it from working on a project. Yeah. And it's, like, it's gray, not black anymore.
Yeah.
And... still gotta hold on.
You love it, yeah. Yeah, I think I definitely have some band t-shirts that, like, I have given up on, like, the girly cuts because I don't even fit the larger end of the scale. So I'm like, fuck the girly cut. It's useless.
Yeah.
And I just get, like, a men's medium. But because I purchased some band t-shirts in, like, the girly cut, quote-unquote, they don't fit me, but I think I've, like, tucked them somewhere else, like, bottom of a drawer or in a bin, because I'm just like, no, I want to hold on to this, and, like...
Yeah. Well, I mean, there's always the, like, you could turn the graphic into a patch.
Yep.
You could, you know, like, there's certain things you could do still with it, and, like, that's what happened. I used to be a small shirt, but not for very long, but I've got a lot of small shirts that I was like, oh, I really wish I could still wear that.
Yeah.
But... still holding on to it, because it's...
Oh, yeah. There's... I have... Because Armand has more than, like, old band t-shirts and stuff like that that either are so worn down or don't fit or whatever. The goal, if he hears this, he's going to be like, get off your ass and do this, is to make him a patch quilt of, like, all these band t-shirts and things.
That'd be amazing. I've been recommended to do that with all my old
shirts. Oh, my gosh. You could make, like, 5 blankets. Or just, like, make a mat, make a blanket, make some curtains, like...
Yeah. Well, I was showing Gabby earlier. I must have... over 300 t-shirts.
300? Yeah. Oh my gosh.
It fits like... Well, then that's like storing back at my parents' place.
And stuff. Okay.
But in this room, it would probably be like 150, maybe.
Yeah.
Something around that.
Yeah, I'm also like not good with like spatial awareness and volume and stuff like that, so...
I just put away my laundry, so I'm like...
You're very aware of it.
Kind of aware of that.
Fair.
Yeah.
Since you've, like, taken stock of, like, all the band shirts that you own, have you noticed a change in, like, your, I guess, purchasing and consumption of band t-shirts? Or do you think you're at the same, like, trajectory as when you, like...
No, I used to be really bad where, like, every show, even if I didn't, like, know the band, I would just buy the shirt.
Mm.
I don't know. I had an addiction problem with merch, I guess. But now, no, it's got to be someone I really love.
And, yeah.
Like, the last merch that I bought was the Royal Alberta Advantage.
And oh, nice.
I hadn't seen them yet. And the shirt, honestly, isn't the shirt that I would buy that's merch for merch, because it's a thin material.
Yeah.
And it's white.
And
it's just, you know, it's not the... I prefer a black or a darker
colored shirt. I feel you on that.
Shirt. If it's a band shirt, but it's still a rad shirt. More of a night shirt, though. Like, I might not wear it all the time, but I still bought it, because it's like, this is more like one of my favorite Canadian bands.
Yeah.
So.
Do you ever, like, when you purchase a band t-shirt, is it like, and this is the shape that I will wear it in, or do you, like, DIY your shirts ever?
I, my first White Stripes concert that I went to was the Get Behind Me Satan tour, and it was one of my shirts that my mom accidentally bleached.
Oh, okay.
Or, like, I got bleach on, and I was like, I can never wear this, and I was just, for some reason, being immature, and, you know, it's still that shirt, so I recently cut off the sleeves and made it into a tank top, and I've debated doing more to it, like cutting off the neck of it as well, and maybe even cutting it lower on the arms.
Yeah.
But I'm only doing the sleeves right now because it is, like, you know, a sacred shirt.
Fair.
If you will.
I feel like that also is, like, very much in the vein of a lot of these musicians and bands that you are purchasing merch for, is, like, this, like, at least for, like, the punk movement, it's, like, DIY is, like, a large aspect of punk, so, like, why wouldn't you, like, cut the sleeves off, cut the neck hole, like...
Yeah. Totally.
Make it your own, and, like, make it yours.
Yeah. Most DIY band shirt I have is a Protest the Hero shirt that has the sleeves cut off by Rody Walker. He actually, the lead singer of Protest, he wore it during a show. And then my guitar teacher in high school, Dan Fila, was friends with their manager and came into class being like, who wants this shirt? It's still got Rody Walker's sweat on it. And my friend Kate had a huge crush on him, and was just like, me, but she's like, it was a large men's, and so she's like, I'm gonna wash it, and I'll give it to you. I'm like, thank you.
I was gonna ask you if it got washed, or if it
stays.
Yeah,
I did get washed before I was able to get it.
So I feel like for some people, it's just like, and it will never be cleansed, because no, it has his sweat, but
that's,
like...
That's too gross. Hardcore show.
Like, everyone's just, like, pouring sweat at that point.
Yeah. Oh, that's the thing. I always put my merch on while I'm seeing the show.
Oh, really?
Double layer with it.
Oh, no.
So if I get really sweaty, I can take one layer off.
Fair.
Kind of protects. But if it's a crazy show, it's just sweating all the way through.
Oh, yeah. Definitely. What do you want your clothing to say about you?
Depends on the date. Most of the time, like I said, I wear band merch and just jeans.
Yeah.
But, you know, there are certain occasions, like if I go on a date or if I'm, you know, I wear a lot of plaid, but I like to wear nice plaid. Like I've also had rugged plaid.
Can you please, give some context for nice plaid and rugged plaid?
Nice plaid's more of a, it's a material. It's like more silk. Like it's, and then there's like a proper plaid shirt that's cotton or, you know, cotton polyester mix that's like warmer.
Oh, so you're talking about like flannel versus just a plain cotton?
I guess, because flannel, and then there's flannel that's like, it doesn't keep you warm. It's just like, it's a dress shirt, but with that pattern on it.
So yeah, I think what it is like, just a standard, like, woven cotton shirt.
I'll bring over
with no pile. Yes, please bring me two examples. But I think it's, like, a standard, like, woven cotton plaid that doesn't really have much of a pile, is, like, the technical term, versus a flannel, which is, like, a thicker, heavier fabric that I think does have a pile, or, like, the weight of the fabric is different.
Yeah.
So that it's, like, a warmer, more thermal...
I'm just realizing I actually don't really have any examples of the, like, more dress-style plaid, because I just didn't like it.
Interesting.
My shirts. Yeah, I've got more dressier flannel that's like, it's just a thicker material.
Okay.
Fits nicer. Like, I'd wear plaid to a club. I wouldn't wear a dress shirt to a club.
Fair.
Because I just don't like, like I talked about in high school, like it's just not being a part of the normal... what you're supposed to wear. Like, if I go to a wedding, maybe I'll wear a suit that's really nice, but my tie's got to be funky. Like, there's got to be something, like, you know.
Yeah.
Unique. I don't want to just wear a Blues Brothers suit, you know, which can be cool.
Yeah.
But.
You just have some personality there.
Yeah.
Which is a thing that I was just talking to my friend Madison about it. I interviewed her earlier this week about... because I have to I'll take the subway to work, and when you hit, like, San Andrew Station, which is, like, the financial district, is a lot of got men in suits, because they're going to work in the financial district.
Right.
But it's always, like, it's fun to see, like, the different ways that you can inject personality into such a standardized piece of clothing as a suit.
Yeah.
Where it's, like, what is the fabric of the suit? Is there a pattern to the suit fabric?
Yeah.
What is your pocket square? What are your socks? What's your tie? Is always fun to see.
Yeah.
And seeing how, like, those combinations work together of, like, there's one man that I think I consistently see, and he'll have, like, a blue and white polka dot tie and, like, I think a polka dot pocket square.
Nice.
Anyway.
It's matching.
Yeah. So, like, it's fun to see how, like, you think it's so, like, it can feel very restrictive of a suit.
Right.
But then there's, like, there's still fun ways to have personality with this.
Absolutely. And, like, I really appreciate, matching now, whereas in, you know, first stages of, I guess, you know, not having mom buy your clothes, if you will, like, I would wear, you know, a green sweater with a green sweater with, like, an orange shirt or, like, a purple shirt and jeans and, like, brown shoes and, you know, a black hat or whatever. Like, it was just, it's always kind of... some part, like, the shirt would stick out because it was orange.
Yeah.
Or, like, the dark green. Or, like, I don't know. It didn't match. Now I just know, like, a bit more sense, especially with color.
Yeah.
Just, you know.
Well, then you know that those three colors you just listed are secondary colors.
Yeah.
So they all technically do still go together.
They do still go, that's what I'm saying, but it's like the, like that yellow shirt right there.
Yeah.
It's just like, that's a, you know, a bright yellow.
Yeah.
So.
So you like bold colors.
Bold colors or black. I've recently started to get into white t-shirts at,
yeah.
From concerts. But it's got to have a really cool design or something unique about it. Like, I have a baby blue Mets t-shirt that's an ear puking. And it's like an abstract drawing of an ear puking into a toilet. Because they're so loud. And I was like, this is such a cool abstract, like, thing where you couldn't really tell that it's an ear puking. But it is an ear puking.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. I was actually at a bar, and someone was just like, oh, that's a wicked shirt. The ear's puking. But I never really, like... saw it until someone pointed it out.
Oh, really?
Me. Yeah, I was just like, that's a cool Mets shirt, whatever that design is.
Like Mets Sports or Mets?
It's a band called okay. Mets, M-E-T-Z.
Oh, Met. Okay.
Yeah, I also have I've started getting into wearing, like, collared sweaters, not hoodies.
Like a sweatshirt? Like just a
it's
pullover?
Just a sweatshirt, just a pullover, yeah.
Yeah.
I've been really enjoying getting those. I have like four or five now.
I also in the last year have been very fond of just like the pullover like crew neck
yeah that's it yeah,
As opposed to because like I also grew up with hoodies and I think for me it was like maybe just an aspect of like living in the burbs but then also I grew up going to camp and it's just like you want to be cozy by the campfire with your hoodie versus like a crew neck is like oh I'm just like gonna go run some errands like being a little yuppie downtown.
I would also sometimes put like, I started putting plaid shirts. If I wanted to be a bit fancy, I put plaid shirts underneath the crew neck with the collar over top.
Yes.
Which sometimes works. Sometimes it's just like, ah, this is a bit dorky. I've got to be in the mood for it. It's definitely, you know.
So would you say that you're an emotional dresser?
Yes, I would say that.
Yeah.
If I'm wearing something that I'm not necessarily happy with.
Yeah.
Not that it'll put me in a bad mood or anything, but it'll just be like, oh, I don't feel like myself. Like, especially when I really dress up to the nines, like I said, I have to have something that's unique about it because it's not, I hardly wear a suit.
Yeah.
Like a businessman working every day in an office wearing a suit, he probably feels more comfortable in it because he wears it every day. And he's, you know, made it unique.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I feel that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think one of my friends from my cohort... One day she said the best thing where she was just like, I was like, oh, I really like this jacket you're wearing. She was like, this isn't who I wanted to be today, though. And I was just like, I feel that. Because she still looked very nice to everyone else, but she was like, this wasn't who I wanted to be today. Yeah. Like, I put this on and I got to school and was like, nope, this isn't right. But like, you just have to go through your day being like, this isn't right.
Yeah, and that's why I think I've kind of stuck to the same, like, aesthetic, like, band shirt. Like, simple, but like, unique at the same time, because bands.
Yeah.
There's a lot of people that wear band shirts. Like, I'm not unique by doing that. It's just my own way of being. Like, I'm not just wearing white shirt, blue jeans.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. I want to get more into, like, white t-shirt aesthetic for myself. I have a couple, but I'm just like, no, this isn't... I haven't figured out a way to, like, make it my own and not just be like, you just look like a catalog model.
Yeah. I don't know, white shirts, it feels like they never fit me properly. Like, it's either the t-shirts where the, I don't know how it's cut, but more like, it goes, flares out more, and it's, like, wider, like, bigger cuts to the
like
holes of the sleeve.
The sleeves, yeah.
Yeah, just dorky.
I know, I think that's one of those things that, like, you need to source out and, like, put some time into it and be, like...
Like, I like t-shirts that hug the shoulder.
Yeah.
Like, those are, I don't know.
Yeah, I think
more
similar...
More fashionable, I guess.
Yeah, I think similar to, like, finding the right cut of jeans for yourself. Like, you gotta put a couple, like, you gotta put some time and effort into it and be like, this is the fit that I like, this works for me, we're gonna stick with this. Like, I think just a nice t-shirt is probably very similar where you're like, you just need to find, like, the company that makes the fit that I like, and I'll buy a couple, and we'll be good.
As I said, like, Kirkland jeans.
Yeah.
And then they started getting Levi's. And so, like, Levi's jeans are just the way to go. That's just where I go.
I can't get over that Costco carries Levi's. I feel
I know,
like there would be
$30.
Sort of...
$30 for a pair of jeans. And they're great.
I feel like there would be some sort of, like, exclusivity or something, because, like...
I think it's just they just have a contract. contract with them.
Probably.
I guess. I don't know. The like, Costco's gotten really big now, too, so.
Bigger than it's been in the past, like, 15, 20 years or whatever?
In the past 10 years, it's really, like, it's really...
Truly blown up.
Truly blown up.
Yeah. I feel like that's when you know, like, where you grow up has reached, like, the next level of, like, suburbanness. Because I grew up north of the city, and so it's, like, I was really excited when we got, like, Old Navy hit Newmarket in 2000. Okay. And then we got an H&M in 2005.
Okay, yeah, yeah.
And then I think Costco hit around the same time, and everyone was like, holy shit, we got Costco. And now it's just so commonplace, but it was just like, oh, this is different. Like, yeah.
And it's like, you normally see the type of market with clothes. You're just like, I don't want to rummage through all of that.
Yeah.
But then when you go to Costco, it's like, oh, these are actually name brand and, like, good stuff. You do have to search a bit more.
Yeah.
But it's they only have so many options, and it's just like, oh, yeah, I don't like anything here, so I'm not going to get it.
Yeah.
But if there is something, that's just like, okay, I'm going to get that.
I won't lie. I haven't been to a Costco. Oh, no, they got Costco in, like, maybe also 2000. I've been to Costco since I was, like, 12. True. And I found it very overwhelming.
Yeah, it's it's an interesting place.
Yeah, I feel like... It's awesome for people who love it, and it's like, I can get all the things I need right here, but for me, I'm just like, this is very overwhelming, I don't know what to do. I think I also, it's because I went with a friend and her parents, and we just, like, went for an afternoon and just, like, went to Costco, and I was like, is this a thing? You just, like, go to Costco to hang out?
Well, yeah, like, they used to have, well, now around Christmas they do, but... It used to be all the time where there was a fantastic book section and a fantastic DVD and CD section.
Cool.
And games and stuff. So I'd just go straight there and rummage through all that shit while my parents did.
Fair.
Grocery shopping.
Fair.
I was going to say, though, you brought up H&M.
Yeah.
H&M wasn't in Burlington until, like, I was in late high school. But there was one in Oakville. So we'd always make trips to go to H&M in Oakville. And I don't know if it's... H&M's gone downhill, or it was just, like, when I was younger, I didn't notice the flaws in the clothing.
Yeah.
But I always felt like it fit right, and, like, it was cheaper.
Yeah.
And I don't know.
Yeah, yeah, H&M, I remember when I was living in Halifax, the big, like, suburban shopping center was Dartmouth Crossing. The Micmac Mall in Dartmouth, and they didn't get, or was it Hot Topic? It is an anglicization of the Mi'kmaq tribe, or, like, nation.
Right on.
The Mi'kmaq nation. So, yeah, just, like, colonialism, naming a mall after a First Nation, that was decimated. Fun fact.
Jeez. Brutal.
It's the same thing out in Vancouver. There is a neighborhood called Kitsilano.
Yeah.
Which is also taken from an indigenous language and... nation that was decimated, and then they've been, like, I don't know what the spelling is, but it's Kitsilano is the anglicized version of that nation.
Well, you'd hope that it's, like, now it's kind of, like, honoring what that was, hopefully.
I don't know.
Like, honoring the land instead of just ripping it off.
Oh, it is,
even
like...
Even though that's what... Yeah.
Kitsilano is, like, a bougie yuppie. It's, like, I would say it's comparable to, like, Yorkville?
Yeah, I've only been to Kits once.
Yeah.
And I was, don't really remember much. Like you said, it's in Yorkville.
Yeah.
Just, yeah.
Anyway, so, yeah, Micmac Mall. I think it was in, like, the late aughts, so probably, like, 2010, I think they were getting, maybe they already had H&M. It was that they got a Hot Topic.
Ah.
And, like, that was already pretty commonplace at Upper Canada Mall in Newmarket. And I was like, whatever, Hot Topic. But also, that was, like, a big deal in high school.
For sure.
Like, Hot Topic, what?
We never had a Hot Topic, but we always had independent, like, rock and roll clothing stores.
Really?
In Burlington. There was three of them. And the names are escaping me right now. But Rock Universe, I think, was the name of one of the stores. But, yeah, it was all just... rock and roll clothing.
That yeah.
That's awesome. That's when everyone wore stud belts. I mean, at least I did.
Oh my gosh, like, yes.
Weigh your pants down and everyone would be hiking. Like, I was always hiking up my pants.
Yeah.
Because they just... My one girlfriend had a bullet belt.
Oh, yeah.
That was just like... She had to, like, put it over her hip, like, up and, like, wear it loose.
Oh my gosh.
Like, have it hang. It's yeah. crazy times.
I remember I got really excited. I think I got it. I might have bought this when I was on, like, a band trip to the States. But I was so happy when I got, like, a hot pink, like, belt that had double rows of rivets.
Oh, okay.
And so that's how you, like, did up the belt, was just, like, the punch hole, but it was riveted the whole way around with the rings.
Yeah, those were
And cool. I was just like, I'm such hot shit. I go to high school in, like, the suburbs, but also, like...
I got a pink belt, but
I got, like...
rivets going around.
Yeah, because it was, like, it looked cool, but also just, like, such weak, like, pop punk, like, scene kid nonsense.
Well, it's interesting that, like, you know, a lot of like proper punk rockers that grew up in the city or like, you know, been going to shows since they're young, and so was I, but I grew up in the suburbs, I didn't grow up in the city, and there's always that, like, you know, people have to one up one another in the punk scene.
Oh,
and
my
then,
gosh.
And it took like a lot of punk bands like Fucked Up and Propagandhi and bands that were a lot more exclusive being like, you can be a punk no matter where you're from.
Yeah.
And it's about inclusivity. Like, no one should be excluded from
this
scene. And, like, that's what made me go, oh, this is, like, it was cool. I remember saying before I went to grade 9, I thought it was, like, you had to, like, choose to what clique you wanted to be in. And I told my one friend, being like, yeah, I want to be a punk in high school. Like, I remember those words come out of my mouth. And it was just like, oh, man, suburban kid, you know, like. But that's what I ended up doing.
Yeah.
It kind of stuck with me.
But I also feel like. I find it interesting that, because I guess, I associate punk rock being so suburban, because it's this, like, teenage angst raging against, like, the suburban life their parents have built for them.
Yeah.
And they're just like, ugh! Like, it's the most, in my mind, and this is probably because of where I'm coming from, this, like, middle class expression of your teen angst.
Oh, for sure. There's a lot of that.
So... I just find that kind of funny. But then, yeah, also, you touched on, like, the politics within the punk rock movement. Yeah. Of just, like, I remember hearing about the, I guess, just, like, the politics of, like, patches and clothing and distress.
Well, like, that's the thing. Like, I never felt like I could have spacers and a mohawk.
Yeah.
Because, like, there was always a sort of line where it's just, like, I didn't want to go to Toronto and go to a punk show with a mohawk coming, like, oh, it's 905er. Like, there was kind of a stigma of coming from out of the city.
Oh, really?
Right? Yeah. But I was like, I don't know, maybe it was all in my head. I was like 15 when I started going to shows.
Yeah.
And it was like, but I was going to the Big Bop. That was like, Queen of Mathers wasn't what it is now. Like, it was, you know what I mean? It was pretty bars and windows. And
yeah.
A little bit rougher, you know.
Fair, yeah. That's interesting of, like, this, I guess, stigma of, like, being a suburban, like, 905er.
And that's what it is, especially in that community. Like, Burlington threw shows at the YMCA and the Music Center all the time. And it was just, it was, especially when the hardcore scene started, well, like, post-hardcore with Alexis on Fire.
Oh, Alexis on Fire.
They, you know, being from St. Catharines, and that was kind of that Halton and, like, Niagara Falls kind of. Even, like, it worked its way to Toronto, right? But there's a lot of bands that that started up because of them, really.
Yeah.
And, but that scene, anyways, that I was in the midst of that scene.
Fun high school memory. Not clothing related at all. But I remember in my grade 10 English class, we were talking about, like, different musicians and music and stuff. And this one kid who was, like, this tiny white boy, but dressed... like, very, like, 50 Cent aesthetic.
Okay.
So, like, the rap scene aesthetic. Anyway. And he was... my teacher was talking about, like, different music genres and stuff. She was like, yeah, like, this and punk rock and whatever. And this one kid goes, yeah, like, Alex is on fire. And my teacher goes, you mean Alexis on fire?
The teacher corrected him.
And that, she, looking back, she was probably in her early 30s. So, like, yes, you are a knowledgeable, hip person. I say this... being in my late 20s and like, oh yeah. But yeah, so like obviously she's gonna know these musicians, but that this like early 30-year-old woman, mid-30s woman, had to like explain to a 15-year-old of like, I'm gonna explain something that is like very prevalent within your age bracket to you. and just, like, schooled him on it. We're all just like, oh, you got schooled by a teacher. You don't even know how to say a band name.
You should have known better.
Like, because, yeah, they were, like, yeah, definitely growing up in Southern Ontario, it's just like, oh, Alexis on Fire. Like, what?
Yeah. And, you know, just, I remember there was a t-shirt I had of a band called I Am Committing a Sin, and my buddy's band Oceans toured with them, and, like, got to see them when they were in town, and I had this wicked shirt of theirs. There was an orange paint splatter on a white shirt. It was one of my only white band shirts with their name on the orange paint splatter, and it was so my aesthetic, you know?
Yeah.
I love dripping paint and, like, just that, you know, kind of Misfits, Creepshow artwork where it's just melting, you know?
Yeah.
So that was, like, one of my favorite shirts, and I don't know what the fuck happened to it. It just, it vanished. So, this is how it goes.
And maybe it'll just surface one day. Like, I thought I lost a band t-shirt that I got, like, 2 years ago.
Yeah.
And I swear I had it at my place. I was like, where is this stupid t-shirt? And then I had to call my mom to be like, Mom, can you check behind this one chair in, like, the guest room where I stay when I visit her? And she was like, yeah, I found your tank top. I was like, cool, hold on to it for me, please. Nice. So, like, maybe it's just, like, hidden behind some furniture somewhere.
You know
what, hopefully
you never
it'll
know.
Show up one day.
There's also the clothing, I'm sure. Like, have you ever had exes steal your clothing?
No.
Never had someone run away with one of your sweaters just accidentally because it was still left at their house?
No, I feel like I haven't had enough relationships to, like, leave clothing at houses.
That's fair.
Okay. Except for current relationship, which, like, knock on wood.
Yeah. All right, that's fair. Well, I've had sweaters that a said person knew was my favorite.
Yeah.
And took it with them.
Oh, that's rough.
And, you know, it's like, that's happened in two of my relationships where
they've
taken sweaters that they knew or plaid that they knew was, like, special to me.
That's
so
strange. Like,
because they would wear it all the time.
Yeah.
Right? As well. And I was like, oh, you're cute and it type of thing. So, you no problem. But then it's like, when you cut the ties, like, kind of forget about those things, and it's like, oh, where's my, I had this fucked up crew neck. It was one of the first crew necks I bought.
Yeah.
I was just like, I'm gonna get a crew neck, this is a sweet shirt, and it was very 80s, like, I had just the logo on the top left chest plate, and then the back was this, like dot art, David comes to life with a light bulb on the back, and it was very, something like you would find at Value Village, but it was a really cool aesthetic.
Yeah.
And I just love that sweater.
So, out of curiosity, we don't have to get into this, but was it like a, it got left somewhere and then, like, breakup happened and it, like, just did never made its way back to you? Or has it been, like, a conscious, like, it was, like, holding on to this one?
I think it was a conscious holding on to this one. But, you know, she also really liked that sweater.
Yeah.
So, and we were together for a long time, and she probably wore just as much as I did, even though I had bought it. It's like, you know what? If you couldn't part with that, and
fair.
Then, and that's what you needed to do, I'm not going to be, you know, whatever. It is what it is. But it's, you know, you just always, I think with myself with clothing, it's like the ones that get away, in clothing-wise, not girls. the clothing that gets away, you always remember. I feel like I've got an attachment to my merch, for sure.
Oh, yeah, and I feel like everyone, I would assume, has some sort of emotional attachment to their clothing. Like, if they lost their whole wardrobe, like, money aside, there would be certain items within that wardrobe. Maybe not everything's a winner,
that's a weird
but,
thought,
like,
to be like, imagine if you didn't have anything you had.
Yeah.
And having to go to the mall.
And like, rebuild that.
Rebuild that. It would be, it'd be tough. That'd be really tough. Because it's always piecemeal, right?
Oh, yeah. And I think it's also in stages of, like, I'm sure you can relate to this, where it's, like, I have some garments from high school that I still like. I'm like, yeah. And, like, I have one, like, little yellow linen dress that I got from Forever 21, which is, I think, is the only thing I own from there. But I went with friends, and so I remember, like, it was nothing miraculous, but it's like, oh, no, this is a dress that I like.
Yeah.
But, like, that was around 10 years ago, and then there's stuff that
it's
I
a
like,
moment in time.
Yeah, but then I have, to come back to band merch, I have a Said the Whale hoodie from 2008.
That's
that was,
awesome.
Like, some of the first band merch I own.
Yeah.
It's getting kind of frayed. I need to replace the zippers. It's got paint stains on it, because I lived in that sweater, like, that zip-up in undergrad, and so people knew me for my, like, neon yellow Said the Whale hoodie, like, nice. Zip up. And so, like, that, and I dressed very,
neon
like...
Neon yellow, too, that's badass.
And I dressed very, like, utilitarian, where I was like, I'm in the studio, I don't need to look nice, I wasn't really, like, fancy.
Right.
But then enter now, where, like, I am dressing, like, a little bit more eclectically, but also a bit more dressed up, like, and I'm thrifting a lot more, so, like, there's these stages to your wardrobe that you build upon. It's not, like...
Right.
Every year you're just going to get rid of your old wardrobe and, like, get a whole new one. It's like, nope, there's...
It evolves.
Yeah, there's stages and it evolves and maybe some things don't stick around, but...
Yeah.
There's going to be pieces from the past that, like, carry forward.
For sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, it's, I was going to just touch on quick, you're saying that you got a bit of paint on it. And
yeah.
I feel like I've... Being a painter, there's so many times where I'm just going to go touch up a painting.
Yeah.
Still wearing the clothes I am and be like, I'll be okay.
Yeah.
But it's always those moments that you somehow get paint on yourself.
And it's acrylics you're working with?
Yeah.
So yeah, so that's not coming out.
I mean, if you get it right away, like, I mean right away, and it's only like a dry, but if it's wet paint, there's no, you're not getting that out.
Because yeah, it's plastic based, so
yeah,
that's...
It's latex, it's going to, especially, yeah. It's not coming out.
Yeah, I had the art studio job I had. I had like two pairs of jeans that I switched between because, and you can like see my handprint as I have like wiped paint off onto my pants.
Oh yeah.
And those have been through the wash I don't know how many times, but like never
Here,
coming
I'll
out.
I'll actually pull out my
I was gonna ask you about this.
Clothes.
I was gonna ask you about whether you have, like, your... Oh, you have, like, a bag. There's a laundry bag of this.
Yeah.
Of, like, quote-unquote, like, studio clothes. You
these
definitely
are,
do.
These are, like... I wore these a lot. More house painting.
Yeah.
More, just got white... They just got primer on them. Surprisingly, band shirts. These were old. Just, like, you know, like I wear...
Yeah, just, like...
Shorts.
Yeah.
Lounge around. American Apparel. This was one of my favorite sweaters, and then I got paint on it. But then it turned, this is one of my favorite paint sweaters. The end of the sleeve is ripped. But it's super comfy. Like, paint clothes to me are comfort clothes. These were old cutoffs that were skinny jeans.
Yeah.
Back in high school, but I used those for painting. It's a pair of pants that just has a rip in the crotch, but I put it in this bag because it had a rip in the crotch to use to turn them into paint pants.
Yeah, so, definitely.
Yeah, band shirts, though, too, like, Attack in Black. This was one of the first band shirts I got. I love this shirt, but I got paint on it, so I'm like, paint shirt. It's one of my favorite fucked up shirts.
Paint shirt.
Paint shirt.
I like this, like, rotation of, like, the good shirts into, like, the sleep shirts into the paint shirts, or maybe they all start as, like, nice band shirts, and then they, based off of where...
They've all been something that I've worn and been like, I love this shirt.
Yeah.
And then things happen to them, right?
Yeah.
And there's only a few shirts that I can still actually wear that are in good condition.
Would you say that this is, like, you've held on to these shirts because there is, like, a sentimentality attached to them and, like,
absolutely,
an emotional memory to them?
Absolutely. I'm just going to try to find this one.
Yeah. Not in an emotional way, but this definitely, for me, this is going to be gross, but, like, makes me think of, like, period panties, where it's like you get new underpants and you're like, these are my good underpants, and then like
that would be that,
to
would,
like, be,
that would suck because I have my, like, I would always get my boxers from Old Navy,
yeah,
because there's just a certain cut. I think they're Fruit of the Loom brand, but they like hug the thigh really nice.
They just
felt really
fit
nice.
Good, yeah,
fantastic, you know. And if whenever you get holes, like for me it's just they just get holes and
yeah,
I wear them out because
yeah,
my lucky pair or my favorite pair, and I know that girls are the same way, but that would really suck. Like, I couldn't imagine being like, oh, fuck.
It's not even that you don't wear them anymore, it's just like, these have a very specific purpose now.
Yeah, totally. It's an old Pearl Jam shirt that I, and the Hives, like, yeah, shirts that I'm like, I loved. Me shirt. This shirt was a cutoff that I got. It says Mosh on it.
Okay.
So sometimes if I'm actually going to like a really real hardcore show,
yeah,
I'll actually wear this to the show.
Naturally.
It says Mosh and it's got paint all over it. I'm like, I'm ready to go.
Oh my gosh. Is that something that you need to consider based off of what show you are going to, of, like, what to wear from, like, yeah. So you, like, you look, I guess, like, so you present correctly or however you want to phrase it, but then I would also imagine, like, if you're going to, like, a show that is just kind of, like, we went to The Kills last summer, two summers ago, we all went to see The Kills, and that was just, like, at the Danforth, chill show, like, yeah, everyone's, like, dancing and moving a bit, but it's not, like, you're pretty stationary and, like, nothing's getting too wild, versus, right. like, if you know you're going to a hardcore show, and it's, like, do you have to think to yourself, like, this shirt that I'm putting on right now might get trashed or messed up or ripped or whatever.
Yeah, absolutely. I've had shirts get pulled on and ripped, and, you know, you gotta wear stuff that you're not gonna necessarily, like, wear shoes that you don't mind if they get trampled, right?
Yeah.
Especially if you know you're gonna be in a mosh pit.
Yeah.
But those are kind of old days. More just every once in a while now, but that's when, you know, you really gotta prepare for it. Like, I gotta bring a knapsack or some sort of bag with me to coat check with, like, put my wallet and my keys and my cell phone and my glasses in the bag.
Oh, wow.
Because, you know, I've had glasses break in a mosh pit. I've almost lost my wallet in a mosh pit. I've almost lost my phone in a mosh pit, so.
Oh, wow. Yeah. One of the few mosh pit memories I have was going to a show at Gus's Pub, which is this, like, tiny, tiny venue.
In,
like,
Halifax?
This bar. Yeah.
Sweet.
Do you know of it, or?
No, I was
okay. Yeah, in Halifax. And so, it's, like, where there'd be punk shows, because there's not a lot of venues in, not a lot of large venues in Halifax.
That's fair.
And so, I just, like, went with some friends, who was like, oh, we're all gonna go for this, and there's a punk show, and we're like, okay, cool, and I think I was standing on the edge of it, like, the edge of the mosh pit, which, right. like, was already very small, because it's a, like, I think the venue is the size of, like, the downstairs of this house.
Okay.
Like, it's not big.
Right.
And so, like, maybe living room and kitchen all together.
Okay.
And so, and the stage is, like, up on a level just in the corner. So, anyway, very small. We're kind of standing on the edge of the mosh pit, and people just keep coming out of the pit and hitting my friend and my roommate. And so she just, like, she hit a point where she just shoved this guy into the pit and was like, what the fuck? Like,
well, then you almost become a part of the pit.
Oh,
like,
she was not having it.
Like, being on the borderline of the pit is sometimes even scarier than being in the pit.
Because
when you're in the pit, you know what's going on, and you're conscious of it. When you're outside, you're more trying to watch the band, not wanting to mosh, but you also still have to, like, defend.
Yeah, oh,
and
yeah.
My role is just elbows up at all times.
Oh, yeah, she hit a point where I have a very distinct memory of Samantha just, like, I think a guy, like, hit her once or twice, and then by the end, like, the next time around, she just, like, had her arms up and was just, like, fists up and was just, like, nope, and just, like, pushed him back. All right, so...
Anything, trying to think what else I can tell you about my wardrobe.
Well, I have another question. Do you have any personal fashion rules?
Rules?
It can be as simple as, like, you don't, like, because I asked you earlier of, like, about your typical outfit, like, versus what going out, and you were like, I don't wear basketball shorts outside. Like, that's a thing for house.
Yeah, I'll never wear sweats if I'm going anywhere, unless I'm going to the corner store.
Fair.
Like, I don't know, as simple as, like, I needed to buy myself a new pair of Converse to have low shoes that I could wear with shorts, because I only had high shoes that just looked kind of ridiculous with shorts. So,
fair.
I made sure I got myself a low pair of shoes and bought myself some more ankle socks. And I don't, you know, no one really likes wearing high socks with shorts unless you're really going for that look.
True, yeah. You have to be very aware of it and be like, yep, this is what I'm committing
to
today.
So that's definitely a definite rule. It's just like, I can't wear high socks with shorts. It's just...
fair.
Unless I'm wearing boots, like I'm on a job.
Yeah.
Like, I don't care. I'm wearing steel toes with shorts. I'm looking ridiculous anyways, so I'm going to wear high
Well, that's
socks.
Its own aesthetic. Like, that is a very, like, utilitarian aesthetic where it's just
Absolutely.
Like, that is where I will accept, like, yeah, the high socks with the shorts. The cargo shorts.
Yeah.
I don't know if you own any, but, like, I can't with the cargo shorts.
I haven't owned a pair of cargo shorts in ages because I've never liked how they looked. Like, I know that they're great for utility and, like, carrying a bunch of stuff, but I don't know. I just...
That's what backpacks are for?
Yeah.
They're not a flattering cut.
No, they're not.
I'm glad you can see that, because I feel like so many guys are like, but then, like, they're good. And I was like, why do you need all that extra pocket?
Yeah. No, I'm like, I'm honestly thinking about cutting off some jeans that I have that are getting old.
Yeah.
And then it's just turn them into shorts.
Nice.
Even if there's a new pair of pants that I have that are skinny jeans that I don't like wearing, because what we talked about earlier, it's so hard to get off and blah, blah, blah. But when you turn them into shorts, I find they loosen up a tiny bit.
Don't have them, then they
fray them. They loosen up a bit as shorts. Definitely. So I might be doing that to a pair.
All right. We're coming up to an hour, but I really want to talk to you about like sports merch. We talked so much about band merch, which is great. But then I also would like to touch on, you are an avid Jays and Leafs fan.
Yes.
And Raptors, okay, because I interviewed Katie, like, a couple months ago, and she was just Jays and Leafs, but you are also Raptors,
and I have a lot of hats. I collect new era hats, and I actually put a lot of money into my hats.
Definitely.
Like, Mishka, like I was saying earlier, is the one brand that I really like because of, well, it's a punk rock aesthetic as well, like, Damien from Fucked Up wears Mishka hats.
Okay.
And Jay Maskus wears Mishka hats. And he's the lead singer and guitarist of Dinosaur Jr.
Okay. I don't know these people. I actually do know of Fucked Up because they played Halifax a couple years ago. There's controversy because they were the cover feature for the local, like, liberal paper, The Coast.
Right.
And so it was this, like, massive illustration that I think Mike Holmes did, who's also, like, a well-known illustrator who was living in Halifax at the time. I don't know if he's from there.
That's
but
cool.
It was, like, Fucked Up. The word Fucked Up was across the front of the paper. And so there was, like, everyone was in arms because, like, children are seeing this. And, like, I think, I don't know if there was an asterisk over, like, in place of the U.
Yeah, they have to use the asterisk.
Like, now. I think even with, they were like, we asterisked it. What do you want from us? Like, this is the band's name. Yeah. And families were still like, no, we don't want this.
That's why they call themselves that, though, too, right? It's
I like, know. That's the thing. It's just, like,
for the shock value. But getting back to sports, it's just, like, no, like, I was just explaining that hat thing because I have, like, I have a lot of hats that, you know, I've got Calgary Flames, Winnipeg Jets, Vancouver Canucks, what other sports teams? Anyways, like, Montreal Expos hat. Like, I have a couple other sports teams with hats.
Yeah.
But Blue Jays hats, I only have Blue Jays hats. I don't wear any other baseball team hat. But I have, like, I buy a new Blue Jays baseball hat every season.
Really?
Every season every season since like 2006, I've bought myself a new Blue Jays hat.
Do they do a new design every year, or
no? It's just New Era, the sponsor for the MLB that makes the on-field caps will then do variations of the on-field cap.
Okay.
And and so I've got a ton of hats, but I've got a Raptors jersey, Valanciunas. I've got a 92 World Series Blue Jays jersey.
Cool.
mid-2000s, their old logo that everyone hated, or it said Jays.
Okay, I like...
Anyways, it's a jersey, and it was a pitcher named BJ Ryan, who was a reliever, and he was awesome at the time. And then I have a new jersey that I've recently bought, and that's Kevin Pillar.
Okay. Oh, yeah, Katie has one of his.
And they're all official jerseys. Not the Raptors one. The Raptors one's a replica, because they're so crazy expensive. But
okay.
I normally try and go for the official jersey, which are $300 to $400.
Jesus!
Yeah.
That is mind-boggling to me. Like, Everett has their own vices, but I think because sports are just, like, were never a thing for me.
Yeah.
And so I'm just, like, fascinated with, like, the, like, because when I was talking to Katie about this, and she was explaining, like, I guess the politics, and she was like, and this is this person, but he's not on the team anymore, like, he got traded, so you don't wear that jersey anymore.
Yeah, I've got a Dion Phaneuf jersey, and everyone hated Dion Phaneuf by the end of his career, but, like, I don't know, he was Dion Phaneuf, he was an amazing player, and, like, I know you don't know anything about it, I still have his jersey. And I'm not going to get rid of it.
What team did he play for?
Like, the Leafs.
Okay.
But
I don't know if we're talking hockey or baseball
or
hockey. What.
and a Ty Domi jersey that I got when I was 10, and my parents got me a large. So it fit like a dress, and it doesn't even fit me now. It's still too big.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. Yeah, those jerseys are like cut large.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, no, it's also, you know, I've got sweatshirts of Blue Jays and, you know, a couple of players' t-shirts from games.
Yeah.
They have, like, they do, like, the jersey in a t-shirt form. Yeah. I've got a couple of those shirts. I went to the Stanley Cup Finals when L.A. played the New Jersey Devils, and I saw them in New Jersey. So I got myself a New Jersey Devil team shirt.
Yeah.
Had the players and the year.
Nice.
Yeah, you know, like we were talking about, it's, you know, souvenirs and, like, you know, remembering an important moment in time.
Yeah.
It's just nice to have. Even if you don't wear it anymore. It's just like, oh, yeah, I remember that.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah.
Yeah, I feel like I just needed to talk to you about, like, sports jerseys and all of that because...
It's also, too, stains. It's like any other shirt. If you get a stain on a shirt,
yeah, you're
gonna try and get it out. Jerseys... Well, because of the material and stuff, too, and, like, you have to be careful washing them. Because
oh,
you
yeah.
can't take them to the dry cleaners. They're non-dry cleaner.
Oh, really?
But you're supposed to wash them in cold water, but you can still mess up a jersey, right? So, like...
Oh, for sure.
You know, my baseball jerseys all have some sort of... Either it's a mustard stain or a dirt mark or something, like... You
yeah.
know, jerseys are meant to be worn.
Yeah.
Right? And meant to go to the games.
Yeah.
So there's always going to be little things that make it your own, right? Or it's just, like... Stains that won't come out even.
Yeah.
It's just like, yeah, this was this game.
Oh, fun.
Yeah, whatever, you know.
Nice. All right. Let's do a quick round of this or that, and then I think we're going to wrap it up. Because,
right.
unfortunately, I was late today, and I have to be somewhere else after.
No worries.
So I'm on a tight schedule. So I'm going to give you two options, and you will tell me which one you prefer.
Okay.
And you can elaborate on it if you like, but you don't have to.
Okay.
Sound good?
Sounds good.
Okay. So, let's play this or that. Stripes or plaid?
Plaid.
Florals or polka dots?
Floral.
Dressed up or dressed down?
What do you mean by that?
Like, do you like to be more dressed up or dressed down? Like, more casual?
Dressed down. Comfort over looks. Over
yeah.
fashion.
Form follows function. That's from the 50s Bauhaus.
Okay.
Which was, anyway, I could get into it, but basically it was that the form of the object should come after the function of the object.
Huh.
So, like, if it's a glass, it should be a glass. It shouldn't be, like, ornate and weird and
right.
ridiculous. So, yeah, you prescribe or ascribe to form follows function.
Yes.
Jean jacket or leather jacket?
That's a tough one. Depends on the season.
I mean, fair, yeah.
I think it depends on the season. Well, my leather jacket is coated for winter.
Okay.
But it's light enough that I can wear it in the spring, but it'll be like, spring will be in between jean, spring and fall will be in between jean and leather.
Yeah.
And then winter will be mainly leather.
Yeah.
And then summertime, I'd say I wear jean more than leather, though.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Because you can layer up in the winter. Which I have done.
Yeah.
And that's something that I do with a lot of my clothing. Like, it's normally, like, sometimes in the winter I go, you know, t-shirt, plaid, long sleeve, sweater.
Yeah.
Jean. Or whatever. Like,
yeah.
It would be a bunch of layers.
Exterior layer.
Jean jacket. Yeah.
Yeah. Minimalist or embellished?
Oh, probably in the middle.
Fair. Malls or boutiques? Like, you like going to the mall, or would you rather go to like a smaller, like independent store?
Oh, boutique.
Fair. Online shopping or in-person shopping?
If it's at a boutique, in person. If it's, I don't ever really shop online for clothes, though. That's the thing.
Fair.
So I don't think I've ever made a purchase except for a hat online.
Yeah.
But hats are still tricky too, because even though they have sizes,
yeah,
they're hand stitched.
Oh, okay, I didn't know that.
And makes their hats, so sometimes the size, like, that's why I always try on a hat at the store, because
yeah.
it might be 7.5, which is my hat size, but it might fit, like, 7.58, and it's really big. But same thing with 7.38
yeah.
hats is what I used to be. Sometimes, like, this is a 7.38 hat, and it fits me great.
Yeah.
But 7.38 doesn't fit me normally.
Yeah.
Like, belt depends, right?
That's why you just gotta get a snapback, man.
I know, I've got some snapbacks.
I own like 3 hats, so, and 2 are snapbacks.
Right on.
Which I actually realized, I think...
Well, that helps for, because you have longer hair, so you can put,
The
hair through the hole.
Exactly. Yeah. And so, I actually realized, like, looking in the interior rim of one of my hats that I have, that used to be my dad's, right. My mom got a hat, like a cap for him, a blank cap, and then had a mini, like an old school mini, stitched into the front of it.
Oh, nice.
I looked inside the inside, and I was like, this is a fucking Jay's brand hat, because it has MLB logo in it, and it's like Jay's blue, and I think I wore it last week.
Nice.
And
I
like,
see that hat.
There was a game, I have photos of it. I was wearing it to the Outdoor Art Festival last week.
Nice.
So I've posted, and Armand's posted photos of me in this hat. It's just not, it's in black and white. But yeah, I like looked inside of it, and I was like, son of a bitch.
Repurposed Jay's hat.
Anyway, but it's a snapback. Or like, it's just MLB, and I was like, this has to be like,
yeah,
Jay's blue or like some team blue.
Right.
Anyway. All right, so we are going to wrap up. Blair, if people would like to follow you on social media, see what you're up to, where can they find that?
You can find me at Babusko. So, at B, then Bouskill. And it's a lot of my film photography, and then the digital I shoot is mainly concerts. So, if you're into that, check it out.
Yeah! It's fun seeing your photos, especially when you were doing your road trip down through the like, Pacific Coast.
Yeah. That was wild. Went from Seattle to LA, so if there's any West Coast lovers out there.
Yeah, that was awesome.
Check it out.
Yeah.
Appreciate that.
And
thanks for having me on.
Yeah, thank you for having me at your house.
No worries.
Being very patient with me dealing with transit.
It's a long travel to get here. I'm out in Scarborough, so.
It's a bit of a wave. It's its own little suburb.
Yeah.
But it's always nice to get out here. And
it was great to I think this is the first time, too, of like actually talked about the reasoning behind my clothing.
Yeah.
I actually, like, you know, I took some time to think about what I was going to say before you got here, too. So it's just like, okay, prepare myself for, you know, what I'm, you know, reasonings for why I have my clothing.
Yeah. It's always fun. People are like, I prepared for this, and then still getting stumped by questions or being like, I'm prepared for this. Or just like, no, I haven't thought about this at all.
I'm a rambler, right? So it's sometimes it's I forget what the question even was. I was just like, oh, sorry.
I forget what the question was and I asked it. So anyway, thank you again, Blair. And
cheers.
If you would like to get in touch with me or follow the podcast, you can follow on Instagram at TalkClothesPodcast, or you can email me at talkclothes@gmail.com. And until next time, lovely listeners, I bid you adieu. Tell me about your breakfast.
My breakfast? I haven't had breakfast yet.
You haven't had breakfast yet?
No.